Please turn, if you would, to the book of John, the 14th chapter. We'll read a few verses here, and then we will go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. John chapter 14, followed by 2 Corinthians 1. John 14:25 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 and verse 4, Paul writing to the church of Corinth says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." There isn't any doubt that life is difficult. And just because we are Christians, it doesn't mean that trials will not fall across our path. Without question, all of us here today are hurting in some fashion. Perhaps the financial struggles are taking their toll. Or perhaps your field of hurt is physical infirmity or emotional scars. Or you are experiencing sorrow. Then again, it may be turmoil in the home, or conflicts in the workplace. Your hurt may be the common distress among teens, or the insecurity of adulthood, the midlife crisis, or the rejection of the twilight years coupled with loneliness. World events may be frightening you. The uncertainty of the future may be worrying you. Or perhaps the memories of the past haunt you. The fact of the matter is, you are hurting. But take it another step. Do you not pain in your soul? The compassion you have for the unsaved neighbor or the family member is always a heavy weight. The inconsistencies of daily Christian living burden you. And what of the distress caused by the knowledge of when you displease God? Or the guilt when God's word isn't read, or because prayer has been forsaken? In addition, the concern for the spiritual welfare of your family and the well-being of your church also weighs upon your heart. And then to top it all off, you'll come into the house of God and the preacher will stand up, declare God's word, and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. Well, sometimes the messages have been hard upon us. By the providence of God and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the messages may have been reproving and rebuking and exhorting. Our spirits perhaps may have been wounded and bruised. So, as we face daily struggles, burdened hearts, and the Holy Spirit's conviction, it's simple. You're hurting. And so today, I wish to apply some salve, the Lord willing. Some healing ointment. Let us consider our Comforter. That's who we read about, and that's what we read concerning in those two texts. So I want to speak to you a message I've entitled, Our Comforter. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you so much for the salvation you've given to us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we can come together in your name and to honor you and to worship you. And Lord, you've heard our prayers. You've heard our songs of praise. And Lord, help us as we attend unto your word. And that which you've laid upon my heart to share for today, I pray that you would just use it to the healing of our wounded spirits, perhaps. Pain, the trouble, the affliction, the distress that might be upon us. And I pray that everyone here today would find comfort. And Lord, they might find it in you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We do pray for any in our midst who are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus and grant repentance and faith that they might be saved. Help them to recognize that outside of you, they have no help. They have no comfort. They have no resolution. But all that can be found in you. So we ask you to save the lost. And strengthen those of us who are saved. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thinking about the comforter we read in John chapter 14, how Jesus said that he would send the comforter. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where you're still facing that text, we find it talks about how that God comforts us. And then we are able to comfort one another. There in verse 4, God comforts us in all of our tribulation. That word comfort means, as you expect it to mean it, the word means an exhortation. It is a consolation. It is a cheering or a supporting influence. It comes from a main Greek root word, which means to encourage or to comfort or to console. And so if you've ever been bereaved, you might find some consolation. You find comfort. When you're in pain, you might find encouragement. Again, comfort. I'm thankful that God comforts us in all of our distresses. Now that word that you find there in the original language here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is the same word that underlies the word that we read over in John chapter 14 in verse 26, where Jesus said that he will send the comforter. But of course, that is a noun that's talking about an individual. And the word there in the original language is parakletos. You might have heard it perhaps in the past as the paraclete. And so we know that this is an expression of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is speaking about how he was going to leave and send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the paraclete, that he should come. And so that word means exactly that. One who is called or sent to assist another. This person is an advocate. And so it is one who renders various beneficial services. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a comforter. He was leaving, and he was sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his place. I submit unto you today, dear Christian, that you need to rely upon God. And keep in mind, God, the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that dwells in your heart. Are you burdened today? Are you afflicted today? I believe that we were touched, every one of us, in the illustrations or the examples in the introduction, because I believe that you're hurting in some capacity. But God knows all about that. And so we want to think about these things today. There are three points that I want to bring to your attention in regard to this matter of our Comforter. And yes, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, direct us. I will speak of it more in the context of God himself, because God is the Holy Spirit. As well, he is not any different. And so I submit unto you, first of all, if you want to find comfort today, you need comfort today, you need to turn to God, because he is our security. I don't care who you are, you need security. I remember when I was very young that there were many times that, just as an example, where I needed some security. I would fall and bash my leg or scrape my knee real bad. And you know who I'd go to? I'd run to Mom. Mom, oh, I hurt my knee. And I'd grab a hold of Mom, and Mom would kiss it away, or, you know, it'll be all right. And Mom was my comforter in a skinned knee. She was my security. Someone who would stand with me, someone who would stand behind me, someone that would assist me. And remember, that's what that word means for that comforter, the one who is sent to assist another, the advocate. I say unto you, dear Christian friend, that the Holy Spirit, God, is our security. I would remind you of 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, where it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You hurt today? You have problems? Nobody knows about it but you. Cast your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the latter part of that verse, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here, go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'll tell you, my friend, these things comfort me in the midst of any pain or trouble or trial that I experience, and I believe that they will comfort you to know that God is there, that you can turn to Him, you can cast your care upon Him. John chapter 14, we read in that last verse, verse 27, where He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because God is our resource. He is our security. There's no reason to be afraid, no reason to fear. But if you are afraid, regardless of the source, then I encourage you to run to your security. I remember not only the examples of my youth, but I remember that when our children were young, that on occasion something would happen with them. Maybe we were going through the grocery store and a stranger that would come up, and I would know who it is, but Ryan would not, and he would hide behind my leg and shield himself from the stranger. I was his security. Chad would do that too. We'd be out, maybe a dog would come out or something like that, and he'd hide. I was their security. And I submit unto you, my friend, as you think about the fears of society, that which may grip your heart, whether it's in the world or in your life, whatever is going on, you might have some fear, then you need to run to your Heavenly Father. You need to get behind His leg and cling on. You need to recognize that God is your security. And even as you attempt to serve Him and you come up short, and we all recognize our own failures in our Christian service, and when we don't do what we ought to be doing, and then we do things we ought not to do, we all recognize that, but I'm glad that God is my security, that He's still there. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. And in the midst of that distress that might come upon me with poor choices, He is still my comfort, and He is still my security. And so then I submit unto you that no matter what you're going through today, I would encourage you to turn to God. Look to the Lord. Seek out that Holy Spirit that dwells in your heart and ask Him to comfort you. Ask Him to protect you. Ask Him to guide you. You turn to God. We know that God is there, and we need that security. We all need security. And I urge you to make God your priority, your main source of security. I submit, first of all, then, when we think about God being our comfort, He is our security. Point number two, I'm glad that God, who is our comforter, also reveals truth. That's the second point. God reveals truth. What we need in times of distress, in times of trouble, in times of affliction, fears, doubts, whatever it might be that comes upon us, we need to know the truth of God's Word. Because through that truth, we'll be able to know who God is and what God is doing, and we will be able to respond properly. I have several examples. I believe that is in your bulletin on the outline, some examples that I offered unto you. So turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1, if you'd like. It's a very familiar text. You might have it memorized, but 1 John chapter 1. What do we do when we sin against God? When we sin against others, when we transgress and we're convicted about that, what do we do about that? How do we find resolution? How do we get comfort in the midst of that turmoil? Well, I would remind you of this simple text in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessed verse is that, because we come up short. We sin against God. And we recognize that, and the Spirit convicts us of that. But how do we find comfort? How do we get some salve for our souls? Well, we confess our sins before God. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And we can turn to Him and confess that and make it right. I would remind you of David in Psalm 51. Let me share with you where David cried out in verse 10, and this is in response to his sin with Bathsheba and killing Uriah, and he tried to cover it up and all that. Well, in verse 10, when he made things right with God, and the bad thing is he waited a year before he did. Can you imagine the turmoil and the broken heart he carried with for a year? Because he would not confess his sin. But he finally did, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, he says. Verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. None other than God can do that, my friend. Only he can help you when you stumble, when you fall, when you sin. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Second example, Romans chapter 8. I'm thankful for God's word that God will use to comfort me. That God will use to comfort you. And he is our comforter, is he not? What about all the things of our society? What about the troubles and the trials and the afflictions? Well, as God's people, we have a great promise. Here it's here in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28. Very familiar text. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Now, the text does not say that all things are good, but he says that all things work together for good. So God can take those things that are afflicting you, those things that you see as very poor and hideous, and he can make that out for your, for his honor and for his glory and for your good in the long run. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't that comfort your heart? Doesn't that help you? Doesn't God reach down and give you the truth when you need it? Oh, I encourage you, dear Christian friend, in the midst of all your trial, turn to God who is your security and turn to him for him to reveal truth unto you that you might find application of that truth in your heart. There's some general instruction given in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, if you want to turn over there. Just general instruction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11, he says, now all these things happen unto them for examples or examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And Paul writes and said, all those things that we read in the Old Testament scriptures, they had to go through that, but they're written for our admonition. They are examples to us. We can learn from that. I tell you, get into the book, read the book, understand the Word of God. It will help you in times of distress. But this general instruction tells us that things came upon them and God used them so that they might be teachers to those after them. That'll be the second part as we think about in application of the text in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and in verse 4. But I can comfort other people with the comfort wherewith I am comforted. Do you not see in this text that in 1 Corinthians 10:11, that we have this matter of those things are our examples. We can learn. We can grow. I am so glad for the truth of the Word of God. That comforts me. I'll tell you, you are not in it alone. You're not the only one that has experienced what you're experiencing. You're not the sole person ever to go through what you're going through. Men have suffered since they sinned against God. And God has always been the comforter. God has always been the security. And God is the one that can teach us and to guide us. And he will do so in these matters. Time and time again, and my next text is going as an example is found in James chapter 1. You're welcome to turn over there if you wish. But on many, many, many occasions that I've tried to assist others in their distress, I've reminded them of James chapter 1 and in verse 5, because the Word of God teaches us this. James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you need wisdom? Then you need to turn to God. Let him ask of God. Go to that security. Go to your resource. Cry out to him for the wisdom that you need. That financial distress that is upon you, you need wisdom. Dealing with the physical distress, you need wisdom. Those family issues, you need wisdom. Those work-related problems, you need wisdom. I encourage you, my friend, take the truth of the Word of God, that truth which God has revealed to you, and apply it to your heart, apply it to life, and say, you know what? I need wisdom, and the place to find that is in God. So I'm going to go to my refuge. I'm going to my security. And He will give me the wisdom that I need. Do you believe that? I do. I do. Do you find comfort in that? I pray that you will. The last example that I would give is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Again, a very familiar passage, but I'm just so glad that God has given us His Word that we can learn. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, it says, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Love the word of God, because God is the one that reveals truth. So what you need is to get into the book so you'll know God's promises. You'll know how God works with men and among individuals and among nations. I saw the other day somebody was making a complaint about the atmosphere and global warming and all that kind of stuff, and people's fretting over that. You know, the same God that created this universe is the same God that still exists today. Now, I believe that we ought to have wisdom. We ought not to destroy our own planet. But at the same time, I'm not concerned about another ice age. I'm not concerned about those things because you know what? God's in control. And this world has always fluctuated on temperature swings. It just has. And I'm not worried about it because this world is in God's hands. I'm just going to trust Him with it. And so we want to be wise, yes. I'm not saying be foolish. But we need to trust God. The Word will help us. And I encourage you, dear friend, you want to know the truth of God. You want to know the truths that God has revealed to us that will comfort your heart. God will use that as a comforting anointment to you. Think of it this way. A child comes to a parent with a question, don't they? I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they said the child is in this why phase. And every time they do something, it's why? 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 I remember our kids did that. They went through this why phase. They just wanted to know. Aren't you glad? I don't know about you, but as a parent, I was glad when my kids come to me with a question. And I was glad to answer that question. Because that showed to me that they had a need, and they could come to dad, and they could come to mom, and they could get the answer that they needed. I want you to know, dear Christian friend, as a child of God, you have a heavenly Father who loves you as much as He loves His own Son. And if you have a question, you have a burden, you have a problem, you know what? God's big enough to handle that. He has broad shoulders. You can turn to Him. You can trust in Him. Take your questions to God. Pour out your heart before Him. God will reveal His truth to you and be of help to you. Now, as I've talked about these things and some of these distresses and given you some example, you know, the truth of God's Word also teaches us that sometimes the hurt and the pain by the providential hand of God, that's why it's there. And by the way, if it comes through God's providence, which all things come to us by His providence, it's best to trust Him. God is doing what's right for us. But sometimes what God will do is God will bring something in our path for a purpose. For instance, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 if you wish. I'm just going to make a quick reference to part of the verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Sometimes the things in our lives come upon us because it's discipline from God. Not everything. Not every trouble, not every trial is because you've sinned against God, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you've wandered. Sometimes you've strayed. And sometimes what God will do is bring that back to your attention by the form of discipline. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and in verse 10, we're reminded that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. What we need is godly sorrow. Sometimes we'll sorrow because, well, I got caught or whatever. And that worldly sorrow, it doesn't do a whole lot of good. But godly sorrow, that conviction of the Holy Spirit, that direction of God, that godly sorrow, God revealing the truth to us, that godly sorrow, That's where it'll turn to our deliverance. That's where we'll find our comfort. Do you see that you need to learn the Word of God and love the Word of God? Turn to Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Very clearly we know that God chastens His children. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 5, He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not?" And in verse 11, He says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Aren't you glad that God loves you enough to correct you, to discipline you? So instead of getting all worked up over that, use that, apply it to your life, and recognize, yes, God is getting me back on track. He is chastening me. God, thank you so much for loving me. Won't that comfort your heart? God, thank you for directing my life. Won't His providence, His guidance comfort your heart? Do you not have a God that you can turn to? And you can always fall back on Romans 8:28. God is still working in me that which is good and for His honor and for His glory. I can trust God. We can. How do you respond to life circumstances? As Christians, we ought not fall apart. We ought not lose it. We have a God in heaven who's on His throne, who's given us His truth, who loves us, who's given us His Spirit. He is our security. He has His truth. And it's just not reasonable for us to just lose it. I encourage you. You commit your life to God. You trust Him with your pain, with your sorrow, with your heartaches. And the truth is, we know that God's Word meets us in our need and comforts our burdened souls. That's a comfort to me. I pray that's a comfort to you. Now, if you would, go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. The last point I want to make unto you is that our Comforter, well, He does that. He gives us encouragement. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, He gives us encouragement Himself. God will comfort us. That's what we read in chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Do you need comfort today? Where will you find that? From the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Don't you find a comfort there? Doesn't that instruct you? God is our source of comfort. It is God who can give us peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in thee." I tell you, my friend, the reason we're so distraught is we not trust in God. We're not looking to the Lord. We're looking to our own resource. God is the one that gives us peace. Go over a few pages to Philippians chapter 4. Keep a finger in 2 Corinthians 1. But Philippians chapter 4. Remember this great precious promise. Philippians 4 verse 6. "Be careful for nothing." That is, be anxious over nothing. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What do we know? We know that God comforts us and God will give us peace. And we need to know that the peace of God, and the world's not going to understand it, but the peace of God that passes all understanding, He can give to us. And so the world may look at us and go, I don't understand how you can deal with that. Well, we have a God who has given us the peace that we need in this distress. And so we have that precious promise listed for us in regard to prayer. So God gives us peace in the matter of prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let me share with you. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're going through something. And I'm telling you, you need to take the truth of God's word and the Spirit's leadership, and you need to go before the throne of grace so that you may obtain that mercy. Only God can help you. God is your comfort. God is my comfort. And then as you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the third thing about what God will do to us is God will give us his word, give us the truth. We've already given you some examples of that. And so we know that God is the one who gives us comfort. He will direct us. He will teach us. The Holy Spirit will guide those disciples into truth. And that's what we need is truth as we face our life and our trials and our afflictions. We need the truth of God. But there's something else that we find in this passage, and it's the end of verse 4. God gives us encouragement. Not only does so personally, but he also gives us encouragement by using someone else. Does that make sense? Well, we look into this passage here and it says, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, notice the end, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God will extend comfort to us by using someone else. Now, one way in which he's doing that is even today as I stand before you and open up the Word of God. And I believe all these things, and I believe they're true, and I've experienced these in my life. And so as I just simply share the message with you, you know what? I can comfort you with the same comfort wherewith God has comforted me. Does that make sense? These are things that I apply to my life. I'm not giving it to you and say, oh, well, you guys put this into effect, and I'm going to go on my own. I don't do that. I believe these things just as much as you do. And this is how God comforts me. And we can be a blessing to others. And God does use other people to comfort us in certain times. That's just what God proposed. And so Paul writes and he said, well, when we had it going tough, God, look what God did for us. And so then when they have it tough, then they, and Paul can go up and say, listen, this is what God did for us. He can do this for you. Let me share with you a brief quote from a missionary's wife, and I think it'll just be an example to illustrate what I'm trying to convey to you. She writes, my recent episode with cataract surgery has done more than help my physical sight. It also showed me how important one aspect of the ministry really is. For years, I have always wondered how effective hospital visitation was. Just when my husband seems the busiest with school or preaching engagement, it always seems his time is still eaten away, even more with one or two sick people needing special attention. He would often spend half an hour or more just traveling to a hospital to spend a few minutes to visit and pray with someone. Sometimes I would go with him, and I always wondered if the hour travel time was worth the few seconds of actual visitation. Well, since neither he nor I had faced major surgery or even minor surgery, we had no idea how great a comfort prayer and the small talk in the hospital room really is. We could only trust the Lord that we had been a comfort. Now that I have been on the receiving end, I can say with a resounding yes to all to the amount of comfort one receives from all the visits, phone calls, prayer, cards, and flowers. Never again will I doubt or fuss about the time needed to go on hospital visitation because, as Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. End of quote. Isn't that true? Can't you the comfort that you have found that God has given you in your distress, can't you give that to someone else? Can't you be used of God as a comfort to them? I submit unto you, when God gives us those opportunities, will we not utilize the truth? Will we not remind of our security? Every hospital visit I make, I try to give the Word of God. I try to comfort. I try to direct them to who God is and what God has done. And depending on the situation and the setting, how much Scripture is given. But we give the truth. And always we pray to God. And we cry out to God. And I urge them to trust in God, their security. I'm not giving them anything that I wouldn't apply to myself. I just simply comfort them with the comfort wherewith God has comforted me. And through these things, God works in our hearts and in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, whereby we might be comforted in the midst of all of our toil. So in closing, let me say unto you, let the Holy Spirit, that paraclete, comfort you. But know that He will do so in conjunction with His Word. He will do so in holiness. By the way, that is His character. So He's not going to comfort you in a different distress. He's going to comfort you through the holiness of which He provides. And I want to remind you, He is there. He is the security that you need. He is the comforter. Avail yourself of Him. Will you turn to God today for the comfort that you need? God the Spirit dwells in your heart. Would you turn to Him, cry out to Him, and find that comfort? Dear sinner, you're in great distress because you're lost and you're headed to the devil's hell. God is your only refuge. Would you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ while there's opportunity? Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your Word, and I pray that You just bless it to our hearts and encourage us today as only You can. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for Your work upon us day by day, and You've never left us, nor have You forsaken us ever, and You never shall. Cause us to love You. Cause us to serve You. Cause us to turn unto You. Again, we pray for the lost that they might be saved. We just commit this time to You today. We love You, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Number 333 is the song, 333.